Welcome inside the Celtics Life podcast as we gear up for the summer of free agency and take stock of the team we've drafted in the rearview mirror. We thought we'd try a new approach to this episode of the Celtics Life podcast and go over the team from top to bottom by the numbers. Literally, working our way from the recently signed Brad Wanamaker all the way to Jason Tatum as we try and predict how the franchise drafts up the future of the Celtics. We're doing so in draft fashion, using the numbers of the players and relevant numbers to the franchise. But before we get started, we want to thank you all for listening. I would really appreciate it if you guys subscribe and give us a high rating as it helps us be seen by other podcast listeners, which in turn helps us bring better content to all of you guys. I'm Topher Lane, here with Mark Allison. Mark, how you doing?
Pretty good, my man. What's up?
All right, let's do this.
Okay. All right.
Starting off with Brad Wanamaker. We're on the clock. Brad Wanamaker, just signed by the Celtics, went to Pitt. He destroyed Syracuse, signed him for... He was playing in Barcelona, right? He left like $3.8 million on the table.
Yeah, almost.
Nothing, basically.
$3 million pay cut.
Yeah. What do you think about the pick?
Well, see, I see a lot of people talking about Brad Wanamaker saying that, like, he's not even going to make the team. This is just a G League guy, whatever, insurance. And I don't think that the Celtics got a guy to take a $3 million pay cut just to come over here and play in the G League.
Yeah.
I think he clearly, he clearly wants to jump to the NBA. You're not getting a guy to come here and play in the G League for that kind of a pay cut. I think this spells the end of Shane Larkin.
I think exactly. Yeah, I think he's the Shane.
Serviceable last year, and I mean, it, just the same thing. I mean, at least Larkin coming over last year, he did have some NBA experience, but essentially it's the same thing. Guy who played great overseas, coming over here. He does a lot of things well, and I think that's, you know, he's a great fit and fills that same role.
Yeah. All right, number 60, Jonathan Gibson. Should we give him a shot? What do you think?
I mean, it's cool. He's probably going to play Summer League, right? But, what, you know, he's not making the team.
He had some good – we looked at this before. We didn't remember who he was, but he signed a 10-day contract and actually performed really well in his first game against the Bulls, but otherwise not a very memorable, I guess, time with the Seas. I don't really see him coming back and finding a spot on a roster that's going to be even more competitive this upcoming season.
Yeah, and I don't know how the two ways work. I imagine they could sign him to a two-way contract if they felt that he was a better fit than any of the other guys that might fill those roles, which ideally would probably be the same guys that had them last year. But I suppose that's an option.
Mm-hmm.
If they thought he was better than either one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly like Jabari Bird. If he's going to stay in a two way, I'd like to keep him there. And Kadeem Allen, I thought, was a good contributor on the two way as well. So I wouldn't waste it on a guy like Gibson. All right.
Bingo.
55. Greg Monroe, number 55, was signed to the DPE last season. Do you think that was worth it for Greg Monroe over the course of the last stretch of the season?
I think in theory, it sounded like it was worth it, right? I mean, I know I was excited when we got him, right? You're adding a player that, you know, he's definitely had success at the NBA level at that.
It was like, who gets Greg Monroe? And this
right, and we got him for nothing, right? So, money, besides that, that's nothing to us. But
do you think he comes back this season?
No, I just don't think the fit worked out. On paper, it seemed like, you know, it would be like a way to change up the offense at times. Obviously, he's a back to the basket in the post thing. But especially with the signing of Robert Williams, even if Robert Williams starts the year in the G League, you got to figure he's going to end up being that center that provides a different look, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. And then that'll bring us to Aaron Baines. Celtics, lovable Celtic, Australian Aaron Baines, all of Australia. Can we bring him back and should we bring him back? What do you think?
I mean, from all points, that's they want him back, right? So Aaron wants to be back. They want him back. I think he probably fits here better going into next year than he would anywhere else, just because he's familiar, right? He's got a role here already. Good team. So the reports are that they're looking to sign him up for a multi-year deal. So they probably expect him to take a slight pay cut to get multiple years out of the deal. That would be my guess.
I think he's into it too. I mean, he seems so committed to this team with what he was saying after the Celtics exited the playoffs. He was saying, you know, after the Spurs got beat, we came back the next year and we won it. He's like, we can totally do that again with this team. And he was using we, you know, like that. He's like, obviously he was a big part of the chemistry with the team, but he was invested in it and it felt you know, I felt like he was really interested in staying, and I think he'd be interested in taking a pay cut to stay with this team.
Yeah, and we need a guy like that when we're going to be playoff matchups against Embiid. You know, you got to have a big body like mm-hmm. that.
All right, 45, Kadeem Allen, the other two-way guy. Do you take him over Gibson? Do you keep him on a two-way? What do you think with
So I think that's going to come down to, I think they're going to keep a close eye on Summer League. They'll probably, I mean, Gibson might be, he'll probably be in camp with us too, right? So I think that that's what it comes down to. If they think that Gibson is better than either Bird or Kadeem, then, you know, I think two of those three guys will probably end up being the two-way guys. That would be my guess. Unless one of the other, like, camp invites is just off the
top. Yeah, which could happen. I mean, that happens.
Often. Yeah, I mean, there's other guys too, right? So
I don't know if I see... We didn't see many of the two-way players actually getting much time. Like, I mean, we saw Jabari a couple times, but really they didn't get many reps. And so I don't have a problem with it, you know?
And I mean, if those guys are playing, we're obviously in trouble with some injuries again. So ideally, they're not playing. Yeah. Right?
All right, 44, Robert Williams, wearing Scal's old number, 44.
Yeah, just introduced today. just before we recorded this, they said he was at the gym 6:30 this morning working out.
Oh, he woke up.
That's a good sign. So it was funny, like Brad's comments. They were talking to him today, and you know, what did you think of the whole thing? He says, you know, I've been telling him I think you can be a good player, but you really got to work. It seems like they're really stressing this. Got to work. They were talking about Al Horford's been telling him we're going to work hard here. Da da da. Because everyone's talking about this, you know, maybe this drive or the motor that he has, whatever. I mean, Ainge said that there's no way you get Defensive Player of the Year 2 years in a row without a motor. So there's a motor there, you know, whether, you know, they stoke it the right way. And they asked Brad if he thought that the last week's missed conference call was a sign of, you know, did the media overreact? And he said, no, I don't think so. Like he said, I didn't think they did. You know, if that's the last time that happens, then we're all good and we can move forward. But obviously that did was a little prickly with Brad.
Speaking of an alarm, yeah, you missed his alarm right there. That brings to number 42 of Al Horford, who is going to be his kind of mentor of sorts. And I think Williams would be Horford's replacement in 2 years when Horford's contract expires, which...
Well, he's up next year.
Yeah,
next
so year. I
So yeah, two
yeah.
Seasons.
I like that's partially why I like the Williams pick. I wasn't. I on last week's podcast, I was saying that I don't think that we need a big right now because we're kind of set in that department, especially if we re-sign Baines. But when Horford leaves, or you know, when he starts to lose a step, whenever that may be, I like Williams to replace him. So, do you see Horford slowing down? Do you like that? Do you think we just keep Horford long term? What do you see as that?
Well, hopefully we can get Horford at less money than or somewhat of a discount, maybe not $30 million again next offseason. But I mean, that remains. I mean, that's a problem for Danny and them next year, because obviously they're going to need money for Tatum and Brown down the line. So that I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions. But I, like you said, I think it's perfect that he has this mentor at least for the first season.
Yeah, number 37, Semi Ojeleye, my boy, the Spartan.
the tank.
Dude, I loved Semi, man. I was a huge fan.
Yeah, man.
Where, I guess, what do you think his ceiling and floor look like? Do you see him maintaining that defensive tenacity that he brought to the floor as kind of like a small wing?
So he's already a monster on defense, right? We saw him guarding LeBron in that series. Obviously, no one can guard LeBron, but like to you know, that size and to be as gifted as he is defensively, he's already an NBA player, right? Even 1 year in. I was excited to see that he's in Summer League, though. Because, right, don't we want to see him expand his offensive game a little? Even if it's just knockdown three-point shooter. That's fine.
Like, yeah.
That's perfect. 3-and-D Bruce Bowen type guy, right? Except Bruce Bowen on steroids. Massive. Huge.
2017 right? Summer League, he torched, man. He was on... He's
right.
Putting up. I think he had a game winner or something. And yeah, I think he's legit. Yeah.
I want to see more of that. Right, get that confidence.
I think honestly, if he ups his offensive game, he's going to see a lot more minutes. I would.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Gershon. Actually, no, we go to 36. Marcus Smart.
36?
Yeah, 36. Like, he's been offered the qualifying offer, tendered the qualifying offer. How valuable... Obviously, we know the value that Marcus Smart brings to the Celtics, but how... What do you put the price tag on that? Because he's probably going to go free agency, I would guess.
I would imagine that the Celtics... He may get another offer, and I would imagine that the Celtics will match it almost no matter what. Because I don't think anyone's going to pay more than, like, $14 million for him, right? He said he thinks he's worth more than 12 to 14 a year. I don't think anyone's going to give him more than that. But that said, I mean, if he does get like a crazy offer from like Dallas or something, one of those teams that they've said are interested, maybe they won't, and maybe they'll do something like what Justin wrote about this earlier this week about maybe going after Avery Bradley instead on like a 1-year deal. I don't think there's any chance Smart comes back for the qualifying offer though. I think that they'll give him a better deal than that.
Yeah, I expect that the Celtics will match it, especially with what Wick was saying.
Mm-hmm.
In the, you know, after the playoffs, I would expect that Marcus Smart is extended or stopped.
It sounds like they want to run it back with him, Baines, and then the guys that we didn't have this year.
Yeah,
so.
Just give the roster that probably could have gone to the finals a second shot, you know, with action.
Yeah, let's add two top 20 players to the team that was one
for
game
sure.
from the finals.
All right, on to 30. We're halfway through the draft. We'll go to Gershon Yabusele, number 30. He didn't see much run over the course of last year. I was really upset about that because I love whenever he did a three, he'd do like the bow and arrow dab thing. I was a huge fan of Yabu. And he also destroyed in the summer league. He's going to be on the roster again this summer. Do you see him getting any more time this year?
So my guess is maybe he'll play a little more this year, but I would think he's still probably another year away from being like a regular contributor. I think as long as we still have Marcus Morris here, he'll get those minutes. And then after next season, that might be his time to shine.
Yeah, I could see that. He's got
similar position. They both can shoot from the outside, physical inside. Similar games, if you ask me, you know.
Just maybe not the defensive, or at least like the...
Right. But he has the tools to do that.
Can you imagine if we had still had Zizic? Like, try and figure out the roster complications if we had Zizic and Yabusele, all of that mess.
They would have
been unreal.
Right.
Other rookies, and the guy, oh man, number 28, Abdel Nader. How do you feel about Nader?
Well, I think, I mean, he got thrown into an, you know, awkward situation this year, right? We were dead bodies everywhere, right? So he had to come in and play like big minutes for a few weeks there anyways, right?
When we were like, so did everyone else. They actually did their job.
I know, I understand that. And but that's a fluke that Jason Tatum was that good and excelled at it, you know? Even like when Jaylen Brown got thrown at that. I mean, these guys are top three picks we're talking about. This guy was late.
Semi was legit, and he was thrown at the exact same thing.
Yeah. No. I totally agree. But I just think that he's better than he played this year, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I think he's going to be around next year. I just, I don't know. He's a Brad Stevens type guy. I don't mind if he's a guy at the end of the bench, but only if he's improved.
I would,
you know? So you can't play like that, like he played next year through summer league, through camp. And well, he's not going to be in summer league because he's out anyways, but like, he's probably not.
I would have preferred RJ Hunter over the two. I would choose RJ over Abdel. I'll say it.
Well, I think the problem was that RJ was on the roster and then they moved him. Like he was a roster cut, whereas Abdel was still in the D league, right? So we just had his rights. I don't remember exactly how that worked out. I'm sure they would have rather kept Hunter
too. They cut him. All right. Well, I don't like Nader. I don't think anyone. He's the
okay. I don't think many.
27. Daniel Theiss, the German sensation. He was awesome last year. Another guy who was just thrown into like injury, had to step up when, you know, Horford was out, things like that. Theiss was legit. Do you see him maintaining that this upcoming year?
So I think when you talk about like the Al Horford replacement, now obviously he's not going to be Al Horford, but I think he does more of the things that Horford does than say a Robert Williams does. Like he can move the ball well, he can shoot from the outside. So I think this year is going to be a real test to see exactly how much, you know, like how much better can he get, right? He's going to play next year, whether Baines is here or not. You know, I mean, Baines will probably be the specialist when we play the bigger guys, but Tice, after playing as well as he did last year, I think he's going
to
get some extended
run. I would like to see him get that time because he was really good this past season. So I'd like to see that a lot. All right, on to Jabari Bird. Other two-way player, he just got the qualifying offer for another two-year deal, Jabari. So we can expect that unless he decides to sign somewhere else, that he'll still be under that.
He'll probably.
And I think
be
of
back
the two,
here, right?
He was the better player. Of,
I think he had the more upside, right, coming into last year. Whereas Allen was like more NBA ready, but Jabari Bird was like,
yeah, I liked upside. The Bird jersey. Like I just kept seeing him on the floor, like, whoa.
We need him to be good so we can buy those
It'd
jerseys,
be fun,
right?
26 Bird jersey.
Need it.
That'd be a good thing. I like that offer. I liked him on the two-way. I'm still kind of understanding the two-way contracts, so it still takes me a bit of time to get all that under my belt. But I like Jabari Bird. I'd like to see him get some more time. But, you know, it's barring injuries, you know? Like, that's when we're going to see a lot more of him, and I hope that we don't for that reason. So, I don't know.
I didn't even realize he got that qualifying offer. So maybe that last two-way spot is between
Allen
and Gibson.
Like you
right
said,
now.
Whoever does well in summer league, you know, whoever shines, they'll just give it to him. But I think they like Jabari Bird a lot. Cool. Well, away from the Celtics, but still pertaining to basketball as a whole, number 23, LeBron James. What, where, why, who, when, what?
I mean, I don't see. If he doesn't end up in L.A., then Magic Johnson has made a mess of this. I just don't see, with the whole, and I think we're going to get into Kawhi a little bit later, but like, if Magic Johnson doesn't walk away with two of those three guys, I think he's got some serious
problems. It seems like the Spurs just have the ability to get whoever they want.
No. Yeah, but I mean, if you're the Lakers, why wouldn't you just give
because
them
they saw what right? Brooklyn did to try and get.
Yeah, but these guys are not old. Like, we're not talking 36, 37-year-old players. I mean, 35. I don't know. What was Pierce and Garnett when they.
Yeah.
34. You know, Kawhi's 20, 27, 28. You know? Nah, I don't know. I just don't. They don't have anything that, to me. I think it would be more players than. I just think that. If LeBron doesn't end up in L.A., I think Magic Johnson has royally screwed this up because no one thinks that LeBron's going back to Cleveland.
I
don't think that Philly fit is.
I don't
good
think
as
anybody
says
that's good. I think Philly fans. I think Joel Embiid says that.
Justin
good.
Does.
Well, we'll
Justin
get him on next week. Number 20.
Yeah.
Number 20.
Tell him I said
Gordon
that.
Hayward, the Celtics star free agent signing coming a year late. How do you think he comes into fit now that Jason Tatum has shown that he can be a starting player? Like, what do you think happens to the roster? Or the starting five?
Well, I think they go small, I think, right? So you start, most nights anyways, you start Kyrie, Jalen, Gordon at the three, Tatum at the four, and Horford at the five. I mean, how many teams do you really have to worry about some monster down low? Even if you do, it's not like if we're playing the Sixers, it's not like Horford can't hold his own
against
Embiid for a little while. Yeah, so I mean, it's I think they'll go with that lineup almost, you know, 95% of the time. And then, you know, you make additions, guys are hurt, whatever. You still have guys that can step in and be starters. You've got Smart, you've got Marcus Morris. These guys can start Baines if you need to go big. I think got a lot of flexibility with what they can do with the starting lineup. But I think that that's the best lineup you can put on the floor. At least to start a game. And closing it, Marcus Smart maybe comes in instead of somebody else, right?
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. I like that lineup. I think that'd be a good roster. And I think, honestly,
that would be running people off the
floor.
And
that brings us to number 18, the banner that we expect to win sometime in the next couple, in a little while. I don't know the time frame. Do you think next season's the year?
I think it's in play. I don't know. I mean... I want to see that Golden State Celtics series, both teams fully loaded. I think that would be a hell of a series.
I want what you just suggested. I want LeBron, Kawhi on the Lakers for a rematch of Celtics-Lakers.
Well, think about that, too. So, if that's the case, right? If they can somehow, if the Lakers can walk away with LeBron, Kawhi, and Paul George, which is a possibility if guys take some concessions and stuff. I mean, they them and Golden State have to play each other. They still have to play Houston. And we would just have what? We'd have to play Philly.
Philly, I
don't think is any match for our team fully loaded.
I think Washington will be better. I think there'll be a handful of better teams in the East. But no, I mean, we wouldn't have the type of competition that the West would, you know?
Right.
So, no, but I would love to see that, the Lakers-Celtics again, you know?
Fight. I mean, that would be awesome. Kyrie versus LeBron. Think of that story.
Oh, man, yeah, that'd be sick. That's what so Banner, I'm going to make the controversial opinion. Actually, I don't know if it's controversial, but I think we win it next season.
Yeah. I think it's definitely possible, for sure. I think we're going to be one of the two, three favorites.
Cool. All right. 13, Marcus Morris, number 13. He has one more year on his deal. Is he someone that you want to extend, or someone that you consider trading because of the depth that we have at the kind of wing 3-and-D guys?
Yeah, I don't think you can extend him, and because of that, right? Like we talked about, you know, we have Yabusele and we have Semi, and you're hoping that, like, you know, a year from now, those guys are even better. Like, Semi is already like a fixture in the lineup, right? He's probably already going to be like our eighth, ninth guy, right? Tenth, yeah. Worst. And then Yabusele, I mean, you kind of hope that he is that Marcus Morris type player. He does a lot of the same things, you know, in 2 years. So I don't think you can extend him, but I think he's a vital piece going into next year.
Yeah, I don't think
you can just plug him in so many different spots.
I don't think there's too much cost to letting him walk, you know?
Right, yeah, it's not like a star where people talk about, you're not going to get anything for him, you know? You have to take that chances with role players.
Yeah, I think he fits that exactly. I think he's the role player that we just have to deal with getting away, mm-hmm. you know? And because his the value that he brings on defense against LeBron, I mean, he backs that up in game one.
Right.
And then, you know, what he brings offensively, just that punch that he brings off the bench, that just electric scoring that he brings off the bench is so valuable when nobody can find the bottom of the net. So mm-hmm. I think it's worth keeping him, even without extending him. I think it's worth keeping him through the playoffs and not bothering to try and trade. Unless you can get a guy like him.
Right.
Either cheaper or, I don't know. But something that doesn't lock us up long term.
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with you. And I would keep him through the playoffs, to be honest. On to number 12 of Terry Rozier. Scary Terry, your man. How's it?
My boy.
You have the t-shirt, the hoodie?
Scary. I got like three of them, yeah.
is he somebody that you extend?
So here's my thing with Terry. I think he's the perfect, because his contract's up next year, I don't think you deal him. I don't think they ever really broached dealing for him. Sans, maybe they would throw him in a Kawhi deal if that was going to work out. I don't know. But he's the perfect insurance to have with Kyrie. Like, not that there's really, I don't think there's that much uncertainty, but for people that are worried about Kyrie walking next year, if you still have Terry here and then you still have his bird rights and you can still, I mean, he'll be a restricted free agent next year, right?
Yeah.
So he's the perfect insurance policy if Kyrie did leave us at the end of next season, if something happened and he was unhappy. At least we still have an NBA-capable starting point guard on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go forward with that, right? Like, everyone gets so worried about not extending guys. That's just not the way the NBA is these days. These guys get more money if they wait till the last minute.
Yeah.
So, it's perfect that we have him coming off the books next year. And because he's restricted, I'm sure there's some kind of shenanigans we could work out with a sign-and-trade with the team that wanted him and maybe couldn't afford him or something. Maybe a better situation for him than a free agent team that could sign him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's still ways to flip him at the end of that and still walk away with something. It's not like he's leaving for nothing.
Yeah. Well, that number 12 gives way to number 11 and Kyrie Irving. You aren't concerned that he walks in free agency.
No, I'm not concerned one bit. I just think you can't think like that. Like, you just can't. That this is the way the NBA is now. He seems happy here. I'm content with that.
And I'm in the camp of trading Kyrie for Kawhi straight up. I'm on that side. And I fought with all of you guys about it.
Yeah, this that doesn't add up to me.
I like the upgrade, but I agree with what you say. You got to sometimes just take those risks. You know, a guy will extend or sign in free agency, but it just doesn't. I'm not worried about Kyrie leaving, but I'm also not worried about Kawhi leaving if we trade for him. You know,
and I agree with you there. Like, I don't worry about. Look at Paul George. I mean, there's a good chance he stays in the Thunder after last year trying to get himself to LA. Right? And if he ends up staying in Oklahoma City, like the Lakers totally drop the ball because they just thought for sure he would just waltz over there after this season.
Yeah, but that's also like, I mean, the Thunder are a much worse situation than the Celtics. The Thunder.
Oh, absolutely. No, I know.
Besides he and, I guess, West.
And yet they.
And Wilson. Right. That's all you.
Have. And yet they still have a chance to keep him.
Kind of.
You see what I'm saying?
I think he's still leaving, but yeah.
No, I do too. I think he's going to end up in LA, whether it's him and LeBron, Kawhi, LeBron and him, whatever. I think he's still going to go there. But at the same time, if Magic Johnson mucks this up and they don't get any of those guys there, I mean, egg on his face. He could have traded for Paul George last year, but just waited for this year. I don't know. I think if you want the guy, you trade, you get him there, especially a guy that wants to be there, right?
Yeah.
Like, these guys have said they want to play there. And it's like, you know, you're afraid to give up assets. You're afraid to give up, what, Kyle Kuzma? Like, what are we talking about here, you know? It's crazy.
All right, well, then we take a step back and go back to the small guys with number 9. we'll get back to that. We got some stuff. Gerald Eddy, another 10-day dude, who joined the Summer League team along with another Virginia Tech player, Justin Bibbs. You see either of them taking that last two-way spot?
Like we said before, I think it's the same thing. You know, if one of these guys is a monster in Summer League and camp or whatever, they got a shot at that other spot, right? But I think it's got to be in Summer League, though, because, right, didn't they sign the two-way deals before we got to camp last year?
Yes, I think.
I'm pretty sure, anyways. They were already locked up before we even got to camp.
I think so, but that was just because of, like, the logistics of everything, because there were so
many. Well, they were rookies, and it was, right, yeah, so maybe that's part of it, too.
And just the unreal amount of first-round picks that we had to make guaranteed.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like we had so
Yeah, there was a lot of shenanigans last year.
All right, cool. Shane Larkin, number 8.
Gone.
Do we even need to do the timer on this one? We could just, like...
No, I mean, it's you know, whatever. He served his role. He got hurt when we really did need him, though, in the playoffs, and he went down. But that's Wanamaker's job now,
right?
Or his job to lose, anyway.
I may have asked you this before, but do you think that the Celtics would have advanced to the finals had Shane Larkin been healthy?
I don't know. They played terrible in that last game.
Well, that's why I wonder.
So,
you know, just bringing a different guy in, because Rozier was just...
He was just not good in that game.
And it was
right.
Just that game. Like, the series...
Yeah, he played great all playoffs. Right?
But then that last game, it was just suddenly...
Mm-hmm. They couldn't hit a ball in the ocean.
Yeah, so...
Anyone not named Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I think that, honestly, Larkin could have maybe somehow...
It might have made a difference, yeah.
Just a random conspiracy theory. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I like Larkin. I'm sad. He does have to go. There's not space for him.
Yeah, there's just no room.
Cool. All right, 8-7. We got our boy, Jaylen Brown. Second going into his third year. Does he keep improving? Because he made a big jump from 1 to 2, incurred all those extra minutes, took a full starting gig. Do you think he keeps growing?
Yeah, I mean, like that big jump too, right, came... especially in the playoffs, right? From the last month into the playoffs, like, he was an absolute monster when they needed him, when everybody else was down. I think, if anything, the Hayward thing accelerated his, growth, right? If there's one positive to come from it. Mm-hmm. Both him and Tatum.
You're right. That last month is when he just took such a huge step. Against, like, the Jazz, he hit that game winner. Which was like nothing but the kids, because there was just nobody healthy during that kind of road trip that we were on, that West Coast swing. So I really like to see him step up and keep kind of growing with that, because he and Tatum are going to be the leaders of this team in
two, three years.
Yeah. So I'd really like to see him kind of step into that and take that role over the next couple seasons. And I think this is the one where he really gets to take that. So I'd like to see him keep going. I've got two for number four. One being Danny Ainge got fourth place in GM of the Year at the NBA Awards. Do you think he deserved higher?
I mean, is there any question that he should have been GM of the Year? I mean, he traded for Kyrie Irving on a steal, right? And then signed Gordon Hayward. He got the two best players in the offseason, right? Unless you think Paul George was better. And did Sam Pretty, is he the one that got?
No, GM it was Morey.
Daryl Morey? Oh, because he got Chris Paul? That's... we got two players.
Yeah.
Right? Well, Houston, I mean, Chris Paul and Kyrie are kind
Houston
of...
took the one seed in the West. So yeah. That's its own thing. I'm going to add time to this clock because we need more time for this.
Yeah, for sure. We have two things here.
Yeah, well, I got Isaiah Thomas that I want to talk about too. His IT4. Anyways, so Houston took the one seed. Utah, I don't know why Lindsay's the second place guy, because he
lost his best player. I mean, he drafted Donovan Mitchell. True. So that's, you know, saved the franchise. Anyways.
Sure. But like, I mean, I guess he made the trade to get Rubio. Rubio worked out pretty well. Right? That was Utah.
Yeah.
So there.
But
I don't know.
If we're talking the draft though, it's like our guy traded the first pick, got ourselves another potential top five pick next year, got the best player, or second best player, if you want to say Donovan Mitchell, that's fine. Right, in the draft last year, at least as far as today, right? And how, like, he went against what everyone else thought. Full slam dunk, right? And we avoided that friggin' train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
I just, between that and bringing in a crazy trade to get Kyrie, and trading a fan favorite in IT for him, and signing Gordon Hayward, I don't know how anybody can compete with that. Ainge has never won GM of the Year.
Yeah.
Even with the Kevin Garnett trade and the Ray Allen trade that year, and then like the stuff last year, and then the Brooklyn heist.
Yeah.
He's never won that before. That's insane.
No, I'll agree with that. I don't see. I can kind of understand Indiana and Pritchard getting three. I see him being higher along with Ainge because that.
Sure. George, that was huge. He's also saved their franchise.
And Sabonis. Sabonis was really solid too. I mean, that was they've got a really fun young team that's going to be legit. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the Pacers had the Celtics number. Like
I was glad to see them go down. Right.
Okay. Cool. Well, then we'll go on to now three, where Jason Tatum got third in the Rookie of the Year competition. I guess. Simmons obviously first, Mitchell second, and then Tatum. You think he should have been higher?
Right. I mean, we've talked about this 1,000 times. I mean, Ben Simmons been in the league for 3 years, and he's Rookie of the Year. I mean, that never sits well with me. I don't know. But Mitchell getting second over Tatum, I have no problems with. I mean, he had to be the leader of his team, right? Not only did he have to put up numbers, they both put up good numbers. But Mitchell was like the leader of that team.
If the playoffs had been part of it, would you put Tatum as the winner?
I don't know though. I mean, it's hard to say that because, you know, I think Mitchell was ahead of him just because of how much of a role he played for his team all year long, right? Even still.
Yeah, I liked. I with the playoffs, I'd give Tatum Rookie of the Year, but I know that's not how it works. But I would give it to him if it were with playoffs because I think he clearly outperformed Simmons.
Definitely. Yeah, second that's round. For sure.
And Mitchell, I mean, he still performed, but just Tatum just did so well in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like a veteran out there.
Also Man on three, out. Brad Stevens third in Coach of the Year, and Dwayne Casey. Now Pistons coach, won Coach of the Year for the Raptors. Do you think that should have changed at all?
Which is, a little bit. But it doesn't bother me as much as Ainge not winning GM of the Year or whatever. but because there's other coaches that you know, that like Quinn Snyder over there in Utah, for him to be able to soften the blow of losing Hayward and then they still finish
one. No, they fell lower in the playoffs.
Did they? All right. So they were riding in three most of the year, right? I mean, the fact that they even made the playoffs after that's pretty remarkable. So you know, for the Indiana Pacers to be up there, you know, there's certainly cases you can make for the coaches around the league. I know we lost like our two best players, but even still, without Hayward, you know, we still had two all-star players for the bulk of the season. Our other players are like top picks, right? Marcus Smart's, you know, top six. The other two guys are top three picks. It's not like he was dealing with a ragtag band of soldiers here. But like I said, the Ainge thing bothers me more than the coach of the year does. Although Brad should have a coach of the year.
I would agree. I don't understand how you can come back with only four of the same players and not have coach of the year and like lead your team to that record that you did and dealing with the injuries they did. I don't understand how he wasn't. Yeah. I think Quinn Snyder should have maybe gotten it, but I don't understand how anyone else didn't. On to number two, Kawhi Leonard, number two for the Spurs. Do you think he goes to LA? Obviously, he doesn't get much of a call. It's the Spurs. Do you think the Celtics make a push for him?
I think the Celtics are involved in any key player moving, right? Because they have the pieces. Teams want to hear what they want to say. And I think it's just Danny doing his due diligence, right? And at least gauging the prices of guys going. Like, how much could I get a disgruntled top five player for right now has 1 year left on his deal? And, like, he kicks the tires on that to see that, even if he's not going to get this player for future deals, right? But I don't think there's any chance he's coming here. And I think it's the Lakers' game to lose. I understand the Spurs are going to hold them up for as much as they can get. But like I said, if you're the Lakers and you're dealing for Kawhi Leonard, you have to think of it as you're dealing for Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James. If Kawhi Leonard is on the Lakers, there's no chance that LeBron's not going to go there. When his other options are Philadelphia and Cleveland, which I didn't think he was going to go back to at any time. But now it's like he's holding them ransom with that. Like, oh, I could still stay here.
I saw like 10 minutes before we started recording, Ainge says that there won't be a blockbuster deal or it's not likely that there'll be a blockbuster deal. So I don't think the Celtics do trade for him. I think it would be actually a good trade, but I don't think Ainge would be interested in it. And it would mess up the starting lineup and stuff. It'd be kind of a mess, I think. So I don't know. I'm a big fan of the trade, to be honest, and I've made that clear in a couple podcasts now. But I agree. I don't think it does happen. I would be surprised if he's not on the Spurs or the Lakers next season. And at least maybe it's a deadline move. You know, maybe it's something that the Spurs wait for.
Yeah, and the Spurs may hold on to that till then. And as far as the Lakers go, LeBron and Paul George may already be in an agreement that they're going to go to the Lakers together, right? Everything else could just – they could just be pressuring – you know, the Lakers to get a deal done. Because you think LeBron cares about all those young kids that are there? No, he'd rather have Kawhi Leonard. You could trade every single one of them, and if it's him, Paul George, and Kawhi, it doesn't matter. They'll fill it in with mid-level players. They'll fill out that roster.
Yeah, they'll make it work. All right, on to the final pick, I guess. Final topic. Number zero, or I guess the top pick, would be Jason Tatum. My man! I love Jason Tatum. He's my favorite player. I've got his jersey.
Does anyone not like him?
Big fan of Jason Tatum. Is he going to keep improving? Do you think he gets better? He had that video that came out a couple days ago of him just draining threes.
Yeah, I mean, we were excited about it at the beginning of the year. And I was all on board for Fultz, right? And then when that came up, I was like, okay, shifted gears. This guy looks like, he's going to be a freak too. I'm into it. And I mean, he delivered, man, right? So all year he looked like he was going to be – he had chances to be a really, really good player. But then seeing what he did in the playoffs, I mean, he's definitely got the potential to be a top five NBA player.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt. I mean, don't get me wrong. Obviously, things happen. Maybe he doesn't quite get to that level. But I think like the floor for him is what? Like a top 25 player? Like, that's like the floor now. Because he's already like –
yeah, no, he's going to be unreal, I think. You see that potential. Paul Pierce saw that potential. He said before the season, he goes, he's as good as I was in year five. And
already in year one.
No, I really, really like Tatum, and I think he's got a really high ceiling. And I think he's going to keep improving, especially with the mentorship of actually having Hayward on the floor, of, you know, having all these guys who can really mentor him. I think it's going to be huge, and he's going to keep stepping forward. Yep. So, and then that lineup is just going to be so good.
And who do you, I mean, can you double team anybody? Like that lineup that we were talking about before, like the potential starting lineup, you can't double team.
That's what
anybody,
I said before we knew up. How good Tatum was going to be. Before Brown stepped up, I was like, I was watching, I think against like Charlotte, the starting lineup of Horford and Hayward and Kyrie. And it was like, they could not find any guy to guard because just suddenly like Horford would be open for three. He'd hit that, drain that. Yeah. And then you go to, you know, Kyrie's driving, kicks it to Hayward on the wing. It's like there's just so many options. And now you add, you know, one and a half more in Tatum being that one, and then just Brown completing the step of being the like the really good offensive player. So it's just defensively, it's going to be really good. Offensively, it's going to be even better. And it's going to be tons of fun to have that entire team. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I mean, he was supposed to be, that was supposed to be his downfall, was he was a suspect 3-point shooter. Yeah, he led the league for like half the season. Like, and like with taking a lot of them too, not like just like hitting one or two here or there. Like he was shooting.
And then
a
he
lot.
Broke his finger, and that's finally when he fell off, and he still kept playing. Like he like so many games. Yeah, no, I have a huge fan of Jason Tatum. Cool. Well, this was a fun format, right?
I enjoyed that. I wasn't sure how well that was gonna go, and I think that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, always look out for our podcasts. You can find them on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. And again, we'd really appreciate it if you subscribe so you never miss any of our episodes. And if you like what you hear, we'd appreciate a high rating, preferably 5 stars. If you don't like something or you have a suggestion, let us know with any comments on our Celtics Life articles or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod. And that's all we got. Thanks, guys.
Hey, later, guys.